Luke chapter 14, we are going to talk about another principle tonight that you can use to help to decide on, to build some personal standards, some guidelines, some rules for yourself. Luke chapter 14, verse number 27, we're going to read one verse here. Then we're going to go over to Galatians, and you may be familiar with the verse that we're going to read. Probably both of these verses you'll be familiar with. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 27. Go ahead and find that. Jesus is talking. Some of you have a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red. And I want you to understand something. Whenever the words that are printed in your Bible are red words, that is when Jesus is talking. Whenever something else is printed, it's usually in black words. I want you to understand this. That's not Jesus talking, but those are still the words of God. Every word that is in the Bible is the word of God or the words of God. Whenever it's read, it just means that when Jesus was on the earth, these are the words that he said. All of it, though, are or is the words of God. You understand that? We can move on. All right, so verse number 27, Jesus said, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." This is a challenge. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is he talking about? Do I need to physically have a cross and once a year walk to a big hill outside of town? Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about doing a sacrament or doing some type of a penance, or is it something else? Well, go to Galatians chapter 2. As Jose sang the psalm this morning, it got me thinking about this, and I realized it would fit so very well with the message tonight. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. You may have this verse memorized. It would be a great one to memorize if you're looking for a Bible verse to memorize. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Here we're talking about being crucified. Jesus said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then you've got the Apostle Paul. Now, the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, those were the words Paul wrote, but those are also the words of God. God inspired Paul to write down what God wanted you to hear. So I want you to understand that even though the Apostle Paul is writing this, these are God's words that he created a man named Paul to fit just perfectly as he wrote this. All right, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. "I am crucified with Christ." Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't crucified. In fact, the Apostle Paul was, I believe, in a dungeon at this point, likely in prison at this point, but he wasn't crucified. That's not how he died. We know that the Apostle Paul died a different way. He was a martyr. He was beheaded. That's how he died, but he wasn't crucified. So what is he talking about? "I am crucified with Christ." Now, look a little further. "Nevertheless, I live." He's talking about bearing his cross, just like Jesus said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul is saying, Jesus gave himself for me, so I am going to live for him. And I'm not going to do it by myself. I can't do it in my own power. It's got to be through him. The principle I want to give you this evening is the identification principle. The identification principle. Paul chose to identify with Christ. If you're here this morning, you saw a young lady that went up into our baptistry up there. It's like if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of like a swimming pool back there. It's not a swimming pool, it's a baptistry, but it's kind of like a swimming pool. No diving board, no cannonballs, right? But she went up there, and it's full of water, and she identified with Jesus Christ. And how did she do that? By getting baptized. Just like Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. She was buried in the water and rose again out of the water in baptism. And she did that to identify with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul hadn't been crucified, but he chose to live a life as if he had been crucified. He chose to identify with Jesus Christ. You know, identification is a popular word right now. There's all kinds of ways you can use it. You don't want somebody stealing your identity, right? Back in Back in Paul's day, I don't know that that would have been a problem. Maybe if there's a criminal around, there's probably a way somebody could figure out how to do that. But I don't think it was quite an issue back then as it is now. Paul chose to identify with Christ. The word identification can be used in some pretty weird ways, in fact, now. It used to be that you had to choose who and what you would identify with. You would choose a group of friends and decide, I'm going to identify with this group of people. You would go to a school and maybe join the basketball team, and you would identify with your teammates, and you would identify with them by wearing the same uniform. Your basketball, you'd wear a jersey, or if you're playing football, you'd wear your football uniform, and you'd identify with them. But now, as sinful lifestyles become more accepted and considered normal, you must choose not only who you'd identify with, but who and what you'll identify as. Now, it's just kind of a weird turn in our culture. I want to address this before we get into the identification principle, really. There's a lady named Rachel in Washington State. She was born to white parents, but now she identifies as a black woman named Nkechi. I'm not sure if I said that right. She decided, I don't like being a white person. I am going to identify and be a black person. Now, you can't do that. You can't change your nationality no matter what you want to be. We sing the psalm, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, yet red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. There's only one race. It's just the human race. I don't believe, racism is a wicked thing. I believe it's a very closely related evolution. We'll talk about that here just a little bit. It's not something that God stands for. It's not something the Bible stands for. God is absolutely against racism. But for somebody to say, I am not the race that I was born, or the nationality, however you want to say it, that I was born, that's just insane. For somebody to say, I identify as something totally different. I read a headline today, and I'll just read it to you. It'll explain itself. Woman says she's a cat trapped in the wrong body. She hisses at dogs, hates water, and claims she can even see better at night. And she identifies as a, not with a, but identifies as a cat. All right? It's strange. People just think I can identify as whatever I want to. Now, that's really not what we're talking about this evening, but I need to address that because it's become sort of normal in our society to identify as something different than what you are. I got this off of a website that I wouldn't endorse, but it's a definition that you need to hear. Most people, this is from their side, different than I believe, including most transgender people, are either male or female. But some people don't neatly fit into the categories of man or woman, or male or female. For example, some people have a gender that blends elements of being a man or a woman, or a gender that is different than either male or female. Some people don't identify with any gender. Some people's gender changes over time. Some people whose gender is not male or female may use many different terms to describe themselves, with non-binary being one of the most common. What are we talking about? We're talking about people who God made to be a man who say, I identify as, and they can go through any list of things they identify as. It is simple, but in their mind they've been so confused by such a nonsense and teaching that's so against the Bible that they identify as something that doesn't even exist. Now, the Bible helps make sense of the identify as nonsense, but as Christians, we've got to face the challenge of who and what we will identify with. What does God say about the identify as? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says it very clearly, and God made the beasts of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image. After God created every animal, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, different than any other animal. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. This is Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Before we talk about identifying with a group, I just want to help you understand the identifying as issue. Just briefly, we're going to move on. Animals cannot be people, and people cannot be animals. It's absurd that we even have to say this, right? It wasn't that long ago where if a preacher said that, you'd be sitting out there saying, now, why is he talking about this? Why are we even having this discussion? But thanks to several generations of students learning evolution as a fact, people really do believe that they're related to animals. And if you believe that you're related to an animal, maybe you might be part animal still. So we need to understand there's a real confusion there, and it's based on ignoring the scriptures. All right, animals cannot be people. People cannot be animals. We see in these verses that humans were made in the image of God. Humans have a living soul. There's no crossover there. There's no part animal, part person type of a thing. It's Hollywood that makes us believe that. Fairy tales that make us believe that. And evolution, which really goes in the same category. Not only that, but there are two genders, male and female. And it's that simple. Anything else is imaginary. Anything else is an attempt by confused people to explain their perversion and their sin. Attempting to identify as anything other than what God made you is simply rebellion against God. God said, and the Bible says so very clearly, that God made man, first of all, in his image, and that God created male and female, and that's it. The Bible helps us make sense of the identify as nonsense, but as Christians, we got to face the challenge of who and what we're going to identify not as, but with. And there's an important principle here that you've got to get, and I want to challenge you. I want you to help me finish this statement, all right? I don't know what generation is going to be best at finishing this statement, but I'm going to do my best, and let's see if you can help me finish this out, right? If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, then help me out. Okay, so we got a couple variations, but it's all the same thing. If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, what do we just do? We identified it as a duck. Does it quack? That really has nothing to do with this message, right? You know that. It does the things that ducks do. That's why you know that it's a duck. It identifies itself as a duck. So, do you do the things that Christians do? Who do you identify with? Or do you do the things that the people that hate Jesus Christ do? Now, I want to ask you that again because this is really an important question. Do you identify with God's people? Or do you identify with people that are really against God? Do you do the things that God says to do, the things that Christians... No, let me say this right. Not the things that Christians do, because Christians, we all mess up, but the things that Christians ought to do. The things that the Bible tells Christians to do, or do you do the things that the people that hate Jesus Christ do? If you've got Christ on one side and you're going to say the opposite of that, do you do the things that Antichrist would do? I just want to challenge you about that, and we get into identification this evening. We must learn to ask ourselves, will doing this activity that I want to do identify me as a follower of Christ or as a follower of the enemies of Christ? And you will identify yourself with one group or the other. Is this music going to identify me with the followers of Christ? Or is this music going to identify me with the people who hate Christ? Is this entertainment going to identify me with the people who love Christ? Or is this entertainment going to identify me with the people who hate Christ? I just want you to realize this is a real question that we really need to ask. Now, there are some things that identify us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible says this. I'm going to give you a lot of verses. I'm going to give them to you kind of quick tonight. You can jot them down if you want to. Or if I get on a rabbit trail and you get time to turn there, you can go there and try to avoid the rabbits tonight. Matthew 6, 24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So I've got to face this question. Is this activity, is this t-shirt, is this baseball cap, is this style going to identify me with Christianity with the Bible, with followers of Christ, or is this whatever it is going to identify me with people that are against Christ? I'll give you some illustrations, try to flesh it out as we go. First of all, your baptism identifies you. I'm so glad somebody got baptized this morning. We've seen several people baptized over the last few weeks, and it's such an exciting thing because that means somebody has taken a step and saying, I want to publicly identify with Jesus Christ. Acts 2:41, the Bible teaches us that the followers of Jesus were baptized as they became Christians. They did it to identify with Jesus as followers of Jesus. Acts 2:41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. People, the book of Acts, they got saved, they got baptized because they wanted to identify themselves. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Now in some cases, getting baptized identified them, but it wasn't a good thing. Now in our country, if you get baptized and you identify as a follower of Jesus Christ, a lot of people are going to say, hey, that's great. Even if they don't agree with you, they may even say, hey, that's great, I respect you, I think that's a great thing that you're standing for something. But in some countries, if you get baptized as a Christian, you lose everything. There was a man who grew up in the Palestinian area where Hamas rules. They're a terrorist organization along the Gaza Strip is where this young man grew up. His dad was the leader of Hamas at the time. His name is Mossab Hassan Youssef. I'm not sure if I said that right. He's called sometimes the son of Hamas. He became a Christian. He wrote this in his book about a man, a Jewish man, who had become a Christian. And he wrote this about that man. He knew that when he allowed himself to be lowered under the water, he was not only declaring his allegiance to Jesus Christ through the identification with his death and resurrection, he was also divorcing his culture. He was turning his back on the faith of his father, a professor at Hebrew University. He was abandoning Israeli society and religious traditions, destroying his reputation and jeopardizing his future. What caused all that for this Jewish man? Getting baptized. Getting baptized identified him as a follower of Jesus Christ. This young man, Mossab Hassan Youssef, I actually saw him in person one time. He was a speaker at one of the conferences, a Bible conference that I was at. He said this, he had a conversation with an Israeli intelligence servant's agent. That agent told him this after he got saved, son of Hamas, Mossab got saved. The agent told him this, believe whatever you want. You can share it with us, but don't share it with anyone else. And don't ever get baptized because that would make a very public statement. If anybody found out you became a Christian and turned your back on your Islamic beliefs, you could be in big trouble. And what was the thing that would make the big statement that would identify him as a Christian? Being baptized. Being baptized is a big deal, and it identifies you as a follower of Christ. I'm going to give you several things tonight that identify you. I'm talking principle level tonight. I'm going to give you some things that identify you. Then what I'm hoping you can do is think about that and say, okay, if those things identify me, then here's what I need to do. All right, baptism identifies you. The next thing is your speech identifies you. The way you talk identifies you. Peter was identified as a disciple of Jesus. And do you remember why he was identified as a disciple of Jesus? Jesus was there being tried, and Peter was outside warming himself by the fire, and he started talking. And when he said something, Matthew 26:73, after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. We heard you talking, and you sound like one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's because he had a Galilean accent, which was different. Kind of like some of you that aren't from around here, right? We don't have accents here. But everywhere else in the world does, right? You come from Texas and you got this funny accent. And you come from Ohio and you got a funny accent. And anywhere else, you come from North Carolina and we can't even understand what you're saying. But your speech identifies you, not only in accents, but the words we say. Jephthah, Old Testament judge, He fought this battle and he won a huge battle. I'm going to read it to you from Judges chapter 12. If you want to find that, you can. Judges chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. A great battle was being fought. People were coming back home and there was this brook that they had to cross over. And as people crossed over the brook, the soldiers would ask every man, they're like guards guarding this crossing way. They would ask everybody, say, and I'll read it here just a minute, and he gave a word to say. And if they didn't say it right, they knew that they were foreigners and they were the enemy. Now, I want to read this to you. Judges chapter 12, verse 5. I want you to understand your speech identifies you. What you say, how you talk identifies you. Judges 12, 5. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites, which were escaped, said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said no, not the enemy, verse number 6, then said they unto them, say now Shibboleth. And he would say, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him. They killed him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time the Ephraimites 42,000. 42,000 people. They found out that they were from the enemy, from Ephraim, because they couldn't say the word. Their speech betrayed them. This is an interesting story. Just help us understand your speech betrays you. The way you talk will identify you as a follower of the world or a follower of Jesus. That's the principle. The way you talk will identify you as a follower of Jesus Christ or a follower of the world. Now, not the way you say Shibboleth. You may not have even heard that word before. But what do you talk about? What are the things that come out of your mouth? When Peter didn't want to be identified as a follower of Jesus, he changed the way he was talking. He was there by the fire. He's warming himself by the fire. Jesus was on trial. They'd accused him of being a disciple. This is Matthew chapter 26. They'd accused him of being a disciple. He said, no, I'm not a disciple. No, I'm not a disciple. And in verse number 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. I don't know that he started cursing and swearing just because he was mad. But he didn't want to be identified as a disciple of Jesus Christ at that time. Remember, he's denying Christ. Jesus is about to die, and Peter, as a follower of Christ, for whatever reason, he denies Jesus three different times. And at this point, he begins to curse and swear. What happened? He changed the way he was talking because he did not want to be identified as a follower of Jesus. Luke 6:45 says that the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. We will say what's in our heart. We've got to be so careful what we put in our heart, because that is what's going to come out of our heart. The words you say identify you. The baptism will identify you. The clothes you wear identify you. Now, I'm not going to stay on this a long time. We'll preach about this another time. But I just want to remind you, this is an identification. We should all try to dress to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We need to realize that the clothes we wear identify us. I've gone through this before, but I'll just very briefly do it again. If I'm wearing khaki pants and a red shirt, where do I work? Target or Verizon, right? You just know that. If I have khaki pants and a purple shirt, where do I work? T-Mobile. No, that's pink. Which one was purple? I forgot which one. But pink would be T-Mobile. Blue or yellow was Sprint, right? And just the clothes we wear, just identify us as where we were. Have you ever walked through Target with khaki pants and a red polo shirt on? Don't do it. You will get accosted. People will come up to you, ask you where everything is. After church, I'll go to a store. Go to Home Depot with a shirt and tie on. People ask you all kinds of stuff. I don't want to go there just to tell them stuff, make things up. I think it'd be a lot of fun. The clothes you wear identify you. The clothes we wear can become advertisements. Be aware of that. Why do companies give away T-shirts and hats and clothes? Because you wear them. I wear them. And we're a free advertisement for them. When we wear clothes with pictures of famous people, we're identifying with those people. Be careful the pictures of people that you wear. If somebody gives you a T-shirt, check out who the picture is on the T-shirt before you wear it. All right? Because it identifies you with that person who you are. The clothes, if you wear the same kind of clothes as what famous people wear, you're identifying with those people. Now, some of you aren't going to understand this, but I'm going to go way back. The year I graduated from high school, 1992, all right? The year I graduated from high school, people, especially young men, were wearing extremely baggy pants. I'm not talking just baggy, but extremely baggy pants. They looked like something Aladdin would wear right out of the desert. And if you remember the early 90s, you know who they were trying to look like. Who could tell me who they think they're trying to look like? MC Hammer. In fact, who knew that? Who knew that? All right. Paul knew that. Man, this guy, he's going to win on Jeopardy one of these days. I'm telling you. They're called Hammer Pants, in fact. They were so popular, people were wearing them. People even in our school were wearing them. And these were not just baggy. I mean, they were like, poof. They were tapered at the ankles, but they were this big on the top. I'm telling you. And the reason for it was so that you could dance, I guess, and it was cool, I guess. MC Hammer made them cool. But here's what happens. People that wore those kind of clothes, what were they doing? They were identifying with MC Hammer. And it turns out MC Hammer didn't even want to identify with MC Hammer. He changed his name. Now it's just Hammer, right? The clothes you wear identify you. Okay, we got to move on quickly. Be careful who you identify with. We should dress to glorify God. We should dress biblically. Does that mean you got to wear bed sheets and your dad's old robe because you're dressing like Bible characters? No, we're not talking about that. You don't have to look like you're dressing for a church Christmas program, but you ought to dress biblically, the way the Bible says to dress. First of all, the Bible is very clear. We ought to cover our nakedness. The Bible's clear, women should not wear clothes which pertain unto a man. Men should not wear women's garments. Both are an abomination to God. We should dress biblically. Be careful how we dress. We should dress modestly. And why is that? Because it identifies us. It identifies us with a certain group. We should dress modestly. There is clothing that's not modest. I hope you understand that. If you wear it, you identify with the other people that wear that same type of clothing. Proverbs 7:10 is very clear. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. The clothes that she wore, this harlot, identified her as that type of a person. The clothes you wear identify you. Be careful what you wear. Choose carefully. You can't just go out and just pick anything that looks cool or popular or that somebody wore on TV or at a concert or something. We can't just do that because everything we wear identifies us with somebody or something. We should dress modestly. This summer, would be a great time to make a decision to dress modestly. We're not quite to summertime. This is still springtime. It gives you a chance now to make some decisions. Summer's when people wear the least amount of clothes that they can get by with. And it's just a natural thing in our culture for that to happen. I think our culture has really forgotten or just lost track of what modesty is. You can't get what modesty is from TV. You can't get it from going to the store. You can't just go out and say, well, it's at the department store. Does anybody even shop at department stores anymore? If it's at the department store, then it's got to be good because they wouldn't sell something that's not modest. No, that's not true. You can't do that. You've got to be careful because the clothes you wear identify you. So as you get ready for summer this year, it would be a great time to put into practice some of the lessons that we're learning about developing personal biblical standards. What does the Bible say? So what's the principle saying? So what do I believe about what I should wear? And based on what I believe, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you to do that. We're going into summertime. We're maybe, I don't know if you do this, switching out your wardrobe, putting all your sweaters, you know, your vacuum to whatever you put them into, getting out the summer clothes. Does anybody even do that anymore? Some of us do. And you're getting out the summer clothes. You know, it's almost Memorial Day. That means you can start wearing, what's the rule? Nobody even listens to those rules anymore. Wear white after Memorial Day, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whatever the summer clothes are, getting your flip-flops out. Listen, just don't just go at it without consulting the scripture. Get to the Bible, find the principles and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Bible-based standards based on Bible principles. Don't forget that your clothing identifies you. I got to go quick. Your love or lack of love identifies you. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. one to another. Love is giving of yourself without thought of what you're going to get in return. Love is sacrificing your time so that others can get saved and know God. Love is investing your life into kids, so they grow up knowing God and loving God, and that identifies you. Do you love? Do you give of yourself willingly without any thought of return? What's that? That identifies you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Your name identifies you. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, you may know this verse already. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass, listen to this next part. Listen to it, but this is not the part I was trying to get. That a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Listen to this part. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They had a name. They didn't name themselves. The Christians didn't sit around one day at an oval table in somebody's office and say, what should we name ourselves? You know, we got to come up with a name. We got to get a label. We got to get a brand, you know, get a logo and get some polo shirts made. No, that's not what they were doing. Somebody else named them. And it was the people that did not like Christ that named them. Their name identified them. And we'll move quickly from this, but does anybody outside of church know that you're a Christian? Do people at work know that you're a Christian? Let me challenge you to be a Christian, not just at church, but be a Christian other places. You don't have to be annoying. You don't have to be mean or please don't. That's not the way Jesus would do it. Be loving, be kind. Take your Bible to work. If the rules at work allow you to read your Bible during break, read your Bible during break, whatever it is. But let's do what we can. Invite coworkers to church. Let them know whenever they invite you to the softball game on Sunday, the reason why I can't go, I go to church on Sundays. And it's just an opportunity for me to share. I'm a Christian, and being my name, Christian, identifies me. Sometimes criminals, as they're getting ready to get out of jail, want to change their names. Do you know why? So when they get out of jail, they're not identified by their old name any longer. Your name identifies you. Be willing to be called Christian. Two more. Your associations identify you. We preached a whole message on this, so I'm just going to give you the verses. Now, Matthew 26:69. We're talking about Peter there. He's getting ready to deny Christ. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Why did she claim what she claimed? Well, he associated with Jesus, but he denied them. I'm sorry, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. If the only thing you knew about me was who my friends are, what would you think about me? Think about this for a minute. If you didn't know me, but you knew my friends, would you know anything about me? You absolutely would, because my associations identify me. Your associations identify you. The people you spend time with identify you. Do they identify you as a Christian? The people that I spend time with, if you knew that I spent time with this group of people, would that identify me as a follower of Christ? And I want to challenge you to consider that and take that up and say, I want to spend time with those people that would identify me as a follower of Jesus Christ. I know you can't always choose who you're with. Sometimes you're at work and you're with people that you wouldn't choose to be with, but this is who you have to work with. But in the times whenever you get a choice, well, like tonight, you're here at church on a Sunday night, and you're associating with other people that came to church on a Sunday night. That is a wonderful thing. Your associations identify you. And the last one is this, your loyalty identifies you. Look at Acts chapter 8, if you would. Acts chapter 8, your loyalty identifies you. Loyalty is a word that almost is despised nowadays. Loyalty used to be a powerful word. It used to be something that people would hold to and would look up to. In fact, when I was a Boy Scout, that was one of the parts of the Scout law. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal. It was a big part of who you are. But nowadays, it's looked down on as something negative. But I want you to understand that your loyalty identifies you. I'll help you understand what loyalty is here as we look at this verse. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. The Bible says this, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Here's what Saul's doing. Saul, he's persecuted the church. He goes to a house and he knocks on the door. All right, he knocks on the door. Finally, somebody comes and opens the door and he asks them, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And he's probably surprised by just how easy it is to find out who is a follower of Jesus Christ, because the followers of Jesus Christ would say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And why would they do that? Because they were loyal to their Savior. They wouldn't lie about it. They wouldn't say, no, I'm not, because to do that would be to deny Christ like Peter did. And we realize that is not something that our Savior would do for us. I want to be loyal to my Savior. You simply need to ask them. And their loyalty identified them, and he arrested them. Many of them were killed because of that. Who are you loyal to? What are you loyal to? Teenager, if your parents were to say, I don't want you listening any more of that music, would you get really upset at your parents because you're loyal to your music? If your parents came to you, I'm talking to teenagers again for a moment, if your parents came to you and said, I don't want you hanging around with those friends because those friends are a bad influence on you, would you get mad at your parents and get upset at them, rebel against your parents because you are loyal to your friends that are a bad example or bad influence on you? That's loyalty. Your loyalty identifies you. Let me give you another example of loyalty. I believe it was the early 1900s. I don't remember the exact year. 30,000 Chinese Christians were killed during what we call the Boxer Rebellion. It's an interesting time period. I don't know a whole lot about that time period. Missionaries were killed. Many missionaries sent out of China, kicked out of China. But 30,000 Chinese Christians died. A mission station was captured in China, and all the doors were blocked except for one door. The people the communists who were taking over and who were killing these Christians, they blocked all the doors. They left one door open. They laid a cross down on the ground in front of that door. And they said, any student who walks out of this door and you walk on the cross and you trample it under your feet, we'll let you live if you denounce Jesus Christ. The first 7 students to walk out of that door were so frightened that they walked right on top of the cross, denouncing their faith in Christ. They were scared to death. I would like to think that I wouldn't do that, but I've never been in that situation. And that as they walked out, they walked on the cross, and they were allowed to go free. The 8th student was a young girl. This 8th student, she knelt down by the cross, and she prayed for strength, and she carefully walked around the cross, not stepping on it, and straight to the firing squad where she was shot and she was killed. And then, listen to this, every one of the remaining 92 students did exactly the same thing. Instead of walking on the cross, and instead of denying their Savior, they walked out the door, and they walked around the cross, and they walked straight to a firing squad. And their loyalty identified them as Christians. Your loyalty identifies you. Who are you loyal to? Who is it that you would get upset if somebody was to criticize them? Who is it that you'd stand up for? I want to challenge you this evening to stand up for truth, stand up for the Word of God, stand up for your church. Find something worth dying for and live for that. Your loyalty identifies you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to spend some time together tonight. Lord, there's some things that identify us, and I pray that you would help us to develop some personal standards, some rules, some guidelines for our own lives to help us identify with you, to identify with followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that every day we are faced with decisions. Who am I going to identify with? There's people that hate you. There are people that want nothing to do with you, and we have to make a decision to identify with them or to identify with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to think through this. Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to make some real decisions, some real guidelines, to develop some real standards for ourselves that would help us to identify with you.